Part of me says, it's just a house. It's wood and brick and stone, nails and tar paper, weathered red shingles, a few of which are missing now. It's only a ramshackle old place that was never anything fancy. With luck, developers will buy it and wait for revitalization to take over the block. A quick sale to a speculator would be the easiest way. The voice that says this is logical. It makes sense. It's only telling me what I already know. Which raises the question of why those words are so hard to hear. There's another voice, one that's smaller and quieter, timid yet persistent, like a child with something to say. This is more than a house. This is the past. Your past. I've wondered time and again if those are the voices anyone would hear when saying goodbye to a treasured childhood place. It's nothing but a burden, I told myself as I stood in the driveway, waiting for the real estate agent to arrive. Marianne was right. You should have done what she wanted. If I'd let my sister have her way, the house would have been put on the auction block, contents and all. In Marianne's view, the little bit it might bring wasn't worth the effort of getting an agent and waiting for a buyer. It wasn't as if Mother needed the money from her inheritance of the place. It wasn't as if anyone cared what happened to Uncle Poppy's house at all. Anyone other than me. When the one person who always loved you the most dies a violent death, it's hard to know what should come after. There is no roadmap for what should be done with the possessions left behind and the memories cut short. Mother had let the house languish for months on the premise that it wouldn't look good to dispose of it while Poppy's murder was still unsolved. Now that the Dallas Police Department had finally admitted the case might never be closed, 6 months became the socially acceptable benchmark. It was time to cut our losses, as Mother put it. The words stuck in my chest, too hard to swallow even now that the real estate agent was on her way. The idea of tossing this place out like an empty shoebox seemed a betrayal of Poppy and Aunt Ruth, whose breath inhabited the fading pink house even now that the contents had been sold, the porches swept, the leftover junk piled at the curb. There was nothing more to do here but hang out a sign and let go. Yet the reality remained impossible to face. Standing in the drive, I expected that the front door would creak open and Poppy would hobble out in his bow-legged shuffle. He'd smile and wave and tell me to come in for coffee. The last 6 months would be nothing but a bad dream, a nightmare from which we'd awaken all at once. Turning from the door, I stared down the block. There was no way to be comfortable with the silence here, no way to make peace with the painful ending of Poppy's life. I could go back 1,000 times and wish I'd acquiesced when Mother and Marianne wanted to move Poppy to a nursing home 2 years ago, after Aunt Ruth's death, but wishing it wouldn't change anything. Checking my watch, I paced back and forth across the driveway. The real estate agent was 1/2 hour late. Around me, the neighborhood had slipped into the filmy shade of evening, and even though it was warm, goose flesh rose on my arms as a group of adolescent boys passed by on the sidewalk, their oversized shorts sagging beneath t-shirts in colors that were probably carefully selected to identify a group. One of them kicked a plastic flower pot from the edge of the estate sale rubbish pile. A flash of anger, hot and sudden, caused me to cry out, "Stop it!" The boys turned my way, and I fell mute, staring at them. In a few years, would they be the ones jumping an 89-year-old man whose only mistake was to have cashed his Social Security check before dropping by the convenience store for a gallon of milk? "Leave that alone," I hissed, and hatred welled inside me. How dare those boys touch Poppy's belongings? How dare they touch anything that had been his? Shrugging, the closest one kicked the flower pot again, then stepped around it and left it in the street. "Yeah, you in my neighborhood now, lady," he muttered with false bravado, and his friends laughed. You better take your butt back home before dark.
Yeah, get in that caddy and mojo on out of here,
another added, then slipped in a string of expletives without venturing a glance back at me.